Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This is your Twisted Kings, Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. Summer is right around the corner.
Nothing is better than grabbing a refreshing Twisted Tea cold on the rocks. It's got 5% alcohol. It is the perfect drink to turn up your summer. And you might be wondering, is this a sponsored ad? Yes. But the truth is, the boys, we love Twisted Tea.
Dude.
Go buy it. Go drink it. Drink responsibly and tell your boys to buy it as well. Let's have ourselves a hell of a summer. Oh, don't be dumb. Drink responsibly.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to 51 Strokes. This is Caleb Presley. Today we have a episode, as we do almost once a week, except for today, which will be the second time this week we had an episode. So I like to keep you guys on your toes, and if you're a girl, I like to do that as well. Today's episode is sponsored by Five Iron Golf, as it is always, because they are our presenting sponsor. They are an indoor golf facility, which I will be frequenting next week when I'm in New York City. They got it all. TrackMan. They got real cameras. They have food, quesadillas, people. And there's also people in there. And if you go inside there and it's raining outside, you can stay dry. It's also one of the places that I like to go when I want to watch myself on camera and see how my swing looks. And that's what I'm looking forward on doing next week, because I've been making a couple little swing changes and I just want to see how they're looking. So they've been working, but I'm wondering how they're looking, because if you look good, you play good. And I've been playing good, but I just got to make sure I look good. And that makes sense. If you thought for a second it didn't make sense, it does. So thank you to Five Iron. If you've never been and you're in one of the cities where there is a Five Iron, Las Vegas, Washington, D.C., Chicago, New York City, anywhere in New York City, really, Baltimore, Philadelphia. If you're in one of these cities, I would recommend you trying it out, and I would recommend that because it's free. If you go in there and you send them a message, hey, Caleb Presley from 51 Strokes sending me, do it on social media, Twitter or Instagram, Five Iron Golf, at Five Iron Golf. They will give you a free hour of simulator time. So I recommend highly you doing that, and thank you to Five Iron for presenting 51 Strokes and sponsoring this dream that is alive. I have hips that are not the same. I used to think my legs were different lengths because when I would walk, I could feel one of them was longer than the other one. It was more of a feel thing. And then I'd always have injuries in my left leg. My right leg was longer. And I thought it made sense because, you know, my right foot's a little bit bigger. You know, they say that it's pretty common to have a leg length discrepancy. And whenever I would stretch my legs out on a table, one of them would go further down the table than the other one. You measure it by ankle. One ankle would be further away from my body than the other one, even though both legs were fully extended. I chalked that up to having two different length legs. And I said, this is the body God's given me. I'm going to work with it. However, I did feel like it was causing me some troubles and it was hurting my golf game. Turns out, it wasn't my legs all along. I got two legs exactly the same length. Exactly. Couldn't be more precisely one-to-one ratio of leg. However, I do have some pelvis problems. And a lot of people think if you have pelvis problems, you need to immediately go see a rolfer. I tried to do that as well when I was in New York City. Didn't even know I had pelvis problems. Just heard about rolfing, heard about, you know, I went to see a chiropractor. Here's the real truth of the matter. If your pelvis is out of line, you're going to have some body problems all over, shoulders, legs, knees, and toes. So I was like, man, this golfing is really taking a toll on my body. I went to see the chiropractor. No, I didn't go see the chiropractor. Take a step back. I'm sorry. I went to see an acupuncturist. And I was getting some benefits out of that. I actually would highly recommend, out of all the BS stuff I've done to try to improve my performance over the years, acupuncture is not so BS. I would actually highly recommend it if you thought it was like foo-foo science. It's legit. Like, what they did for me, it helped my muscles. I think I released some really tight muscles who had probably been that way for a while. And also, you know, felt good. It was relaxing. You get this thing right afterwards. They call it needle brain, where basically your brain just doesn't function for a while. And that's probably the most concerning part about acupuncture, honestly, is just the fact that it turns your brain off. Some people need that, though. If your brain's running too crazy, it's a quick pull out of the plug. Anyways, my acupuncturist in New York City recommended Rolfing. She's like, oh, I see a lot of people who, you know, are having similar problems to you are helped by Rolfing. I was like, really? What's that? She's like, well, I had a chiropractor come in here. She was doing acupuncture to a chiropractor, a little bit of a synergy within the medical space. And the chiropractor told her about this person who was doing it in Brooklyn. Anyways, I tried it. I went out there, but like basically it was like a 9-step program that they operate on. And each step is defined like by the book. It's not each individual practitioner gets to decide what you're going to do that day. It's something that they have to kind of abide by. It's like a 12-step program. Instead of getting out of alcoholism, you're getting into equal length body parts on each side of your body. So basically, I go over to Brooklyn. I ride the subway over there. I think I ended up taking an Uber for the last part of the journey because I was so worn out by the subway. Show up, very nice lady, and I did the first couple sessions, but it struck me as I've done a lot of BS stuff. It kind of felt like it was not working. I didn't really feel like any of the benefits, and it was like $200 a pop. So, and also the next session, I knew I was like at a crossroads. It was like the next session they were going to be doing like inner pelvis work. And I was like, inner pelvis work sounds at the very best, like it's going to be an uncomfortable situation. And that's, you know, at the very least, it's going to be uncomfortable. So is this really for real? Is it worth $200 to get something that might not even work? And it's definitely going to be kind of awkward. I said, and also have to go to Brooklyn. It's like, no, thanks. So I didn't do it. But it did turn out that my pelvis was misaligned. Okay. And I don't even know if that's the right term. Something's wrong with it. And it still comes in and out. But how I know and what's important about it is when I'm standing over the golfing ball, okay, as my guy on Instagram says, I hit up Dave about this guy. I can't remember his name. It's not Manolo. It's something like that. The guy on Instagram that's all, he's like, yeah, it was Manolo. All right. But maybe I said it wrong. This is him talking here, huh?
The game of golf is so fascinating because he's not played on a level playing field.
Facts, because I have two different length legs. I thought I did. Anyways, when I'm standing over the ball, if you don't feel like real great balance in your feet, I would have my right foot feel like it was taking the predominant amount of my pressure and then the left foot kind of just there. And I think it was, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I don't think that it was the best. So anyways, I say all of that to say that this morning I did find someone, and I found multiple people now who know how to treat this issue, and they say it is treatable. And I went this morning to see a guy named Chris Verna here, and he's in Boca Raton, Florida. Very famous shoulders and hips specialist. And he was helping me with my hips, and he's helping me learn some exercises so that they'll stay. My pelvis will basically stay correct permanently, which would be a literal gift from God. Shout out to Chris Verna. Also, shout out to Dan Hellman, who's in Fort Lauderdale, a little further away from me, but he's also great at treating the pelvis. So, yeah, Caleb Presley has pelvis problems. True, but not for long. Enjoy that storyline while it lasts. Today's episode is also brought to you by Dude Wipes. Dude Wipes is also the sponsor for Sunday Conversation. And for that, they earn all the points in my book. Because Sunday Conversation is something that I love to do. Sit down with someone. Ask them questions that matter. Too many people asking questions that simply don't matter. And the thing I like about Sunday Conversation is we leave those topics behind and we get right to the gristle. However, because it's so hard-hitting, a lot of sponsors are scared to sponsor it. Not Dude Wipes. Dude Wipes obviously is not afraid to get into the shit, okay? And so I want to thank them for sponsoring that, but also thank them for sponsoring this. And this is how I'm going to thank them, and you can help me. They gave us a code, STROKES15, STROKES15, for 15% off our orders. Dude Wipes, obviously, extra large flushable wipes made from plant source fibers designed to give your butt a cleaner, more refreshing finish after you drop a huge, huge pile of heat in the toilet. We're going to go on here. We're going to go to their website, which I believe is not listed here, but I'm going to do a little bit of my... On the piece of paper they gave me, it doesn't even say what the website is, but I'm going to do my own personal research because I care about these Dude Wipes as Dude Wipe guys that are sponsors. Okay, it's dudeproducts.com. Okay. Oh, look, it says they have Barstool on the freaking, wow. Barstool on the scroll bar. Great. So buy some stuff and then use code STROKES15 for 15% off your entire order. Perfect. Thank you, Dude Wipes. You're the best. And I am a personal user and fan of Dude Wipes. So, and by the way, last week I recorded 3 Sunday Conversations. I recorded one with Randy Orton, which is out. One with Pac-Man Jones, which is going to be out by the time you hear this. It's coming out tonight, but I'm recording this on Thursday. And I recorded one more and with Ice Cube, which is going to be next week. Pac-Man was maybe the first time ever that I recorded one of these where I don't think he had watched any of the material going into it, which that's not the first time ever. They barely ever watch it. I'm not even sure I've had more than 2 guests ever watch a video before we start. We always send it to them. They always have the opportunity to be informed, but they just simply, a lot of times, I think, are too busy or just choose not to take that opportunity. Pac-Man chose not to take that opportunity, and I think he was a little thrown off by the line of questioning. And for the first time ever, he stopped the interview, mid-interview, and made some phone calls to, I think, maybe his press person or media correspondent just to figure out what was going on. And it was a little awkward for a while. I'm not going to lie. I've definitely pride myself in being comfortable in the uncomfortable situation. It was a little uncomfortable. And I don't think Glennie Balls prides himself on that. So I would only imagine how he was feeling watching that. Because I had a huge line of questioning about Pac-Man's run-ins with the law. My thought process was, all right, we're building up this fight, Rough and Rowdy. It's going to be tomorrow night if you're listening to this. Or it's going to be tonight if you're listening to this on Friday. Friday night, he's fighting against our heavyweight champion, Bobby Lang, who's a badass. Pac-Man, obviously, cornerback in the NFL, really, really good athlete. Someone who's had a lot of run-ins with the law. I said, all right, how are we going to build this fight up? Well, let's emphasize the fact that he's a troublemaker, a dangerous man. Someone who you never know what's going to happen with, and also is not afraid to break the law if it means beating somebody up. That's how passionate he is about fighting. And I thought that was a good look for Rough and Rowdy, and that's what I really wanted to focus on. So I'm asking this line of questioning about his run-ins with the law, and I think at some point he's like, hey, dude, what are we doing right now? Are you trying to send me back to jail? And I wasn't, and I still am not. And I like Pac-Man. I even love him now because after he kind of figured out what we were doing, interview closed, he then went and watched some of the other interviews. Probably should have done it before. Did it afterwards. He's like, oh, I get it. This is funny. We had some golf talk. He's a big golfer. He was showing me a swing. Pure swing. Actually, we might try to get around then tomorrow in West Virginia. I don't know if he's going to want to stay off his feet all day. But I might try to go out there and pop off a little quick round in Charleston, West Virginia. So Pac-Man, a great guy, but first time in Sunday Conversation history, we did have a little bit of a mid-interview debacle. However, we were able to handle it, and I think it finished fine. I think the interview's hard-hitting, which is what I care about, and I think it's going to be well-received. The Ice Cube one went great, and we're off to the races for the fall. Hopefully, my goal is to do one every single Sunday this fall. Now, the last one was on the Saturday morning. This one's on a Thursday night because they're promoting events that are on the weekend. But usually they're going to come out on Sunday mornings, and hopefully we get cracking and we stay in rhythm and we can knock one out every single Sunday this fall. Last fall, we're unable to do that because it just didn't have, for a lot of reasons, for a number of reasons, but mostly because didn't really know what we were getting into trying to book guests like that. And also because of coronavirus, no guests were really doing interviews. So it was very difficult. This fall, I think it can be different, and I hope it will be different. And so we're off to the races in that regard. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this four-play Trent match or potential match between the two of us and what's going on with that. I kind of briefly talked about it, but I'm sorry, I just got an email about this private jet to West Virginia, but I'm not going on the private jet to West Virginia. I'm coming from Florida. That's the one bad part. I'm flying freaking commercial with a layover. All right. So yeah, that's feel bad. Like someone else probably could have my spot. I didn't know that they thought I was coming from New York, but I don't live in New York. So, you know, it's just one of those things. All right, before we talk about the Trent stuff, because I kind of glossed over it. We did the podcast Monday. My brain was broken. Like sometimes I'll watch Dave on something and he'll be like, sorry, guys, I feel terrible right now. But besides that, I feel good. And then let's do this. But I want you to know that I feel bad. I think he does those. I understood why he does those on Monday because it's like, wow, my brain's not fully functioning. So if anything I say comes across as idiotic or not great, it's because I'm dealing with a half of a brain. And that's how I was feeling Monday. Now, I didn't have the luxury of any type of performance-enhancing drugs that Dave might be able to obtain easier than me, you know? So I was just raw-dogging it on with a huge jet lag. Anyways, I say all that to say I kind of glossed over the foreplay stuff because I wanted to address it with the full brain. So we will do that after I tell you about Cross Country Mortgage. Actually, let's do this one by TaylorMade because foreplay is TaylorMade, as is 51 Strokes. At the end of the day, we play with the same clubs in our bag, and that's TaylorMade. Same balls in our bag, TaylorMade. I'll say this. Yesterday, I went out, played around. TaylorMade had sent me 6 boxes of the new TP5X golf balls. I think they're freaking nice. They're like what the pros play with. And recently when I go out, I've been losing around 1 to 3 to 4 balls around, which has been kind of my average, which I'm very happy with. I remember a time recently where I was losing over 2 boxes. I mean, that was within the last year. So to get to the point where I'm only losing 1 ball around sometimes is I'm pumped about that. I did lose an entire box, though, yesterday of TaylorMade TP5X balls because I was just couldn't hit my freaking hybrid. I don't know what was going on. My hybrid was going out of bounds. It's a nice hybrid. It's a TaylorMade hybrid. It's beautiful. I usually love playing with it. In fact, I went out. I said, I'm not going to hit my driver today. Keep everything in balance, keep everything in play. I can pipe that driver about 230, 240 very consistently, down the middle very consistently. But yesterday, whatever I was doing, that thing was pushing right, and I lost a lot of balls that way. So I lost an entire box of TaylorMade balls, and I'm going to have to go to barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade to check out some more and buy some more because I am going to need them. I also play TaylorMade clubs. They're amazing. I play the blades. I love them. I actually can't imagine playing cavity backs. I know that they're supposed to be easier, but I've never have found my problem to be club related ever. It's just the good set of clubs, and it's always I can usually diagnose to some certainty what I did wrong, and it has never been I have the wrong clubs in my hand. So TaylorMade, official ball and club sponsor, 51 strokes. Go to barstoolsports.com/TaylorMade and get your stuff. I would say my favorite club to hit in my bag right now is my 7-iron. I was consistently hitting about 150 and felt like I could pretty much get good contact on it every time. Now I'm having trouble with it because now that I've started to get into a real feel of how to hit the golf ball, I'm adding distance. And so I can't even confidently say what my distances are. So like yesterday I was 150 out right at the stake, hit my 7-iron, and it went over the green. Probably hit a 160, 165. So these are great clubs, and I highly recommend them. TaylorMade, thank you. All right. So here's what's went down with the whole I'll give my best interpretation of what has happened with the foreplay Trent saga. I saw yesterday on Dave's podcast that was brought up on their Inside Barstool segment. Someone sent to me that basically, you know, what was his take on foreplay versus 51 strokes. And Gaz floated the theory that I was the reason why I wanted to do it was because I was seeing how popular Trent's Breaking 100 series was, and I wanted to basically reap the rewards of his popularity. While I will say that's a good theory, and I support good theories, and I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I do like to dabble in maybe alternative thinking, I don't think that's necessarily hitting the nail on the head. I think it has a lot more to do with and also, if you look at the timeline, I was asking Trent if he wanted to play golf before we even knew it was successful, even though I had the most confidence that it would be, because why wouldn't it be? Everything those guys at foreplay do is very successful, and Trent's a very likable, maybe the most likable guy of all time. So I don't quite – but even if it was, you know, even if I was trying to gain views, if it was all about the views – It does check out that at the end of the day, that is actually my job. It is actually not, you know, it's not like a middle school guy trying to, you know, he's in sixth grade, but he's trying to hang out with an eighth grader to seem cooler type clout chasing. It would actually just be like, I think it makes sense to collaborate on this because I think it would do really well for our work, who we work for. So it is technically my job, but the truth is, we really were at the same place. Trent is doing a Breaking 100 series. I was about to break 100 myself. I was really close. And I shot him a text. I said, hey, do you want to come down to Florida for a week or something? And let's break this 100 together. I didn't know he was doing a Breaking 100 full out. I knew he was trying to break 100. I didn't realize it was like sold as a series. So I was like, hey, man, I don't have anything scheduled this week. Maybe you fly down to Florida, free trip to Florida for you. And we try to do this together, make some content and try to break 100. He did not want to do that. I understand it was a last minute notice and, you know, and maybe he had got off another trip or something like that and didn't want to come right down to Florida and maybe had the knowledge that it was going to be built out into a bigger series. Cool. So then we went on and we kind of going, and I don't remember the timeline of this exactly perfect. I don't think I'm definitely going to be no lies said by me right now, but I'm not positive I can recollect the exact timeline. But at some point after that, I don't know if I had broken 100 yet or not. I think maybe by this point I had already broken it. I text him again and say, hey man, let's do something. Let's collaborate on this. Let's make a video together. And I just didn't get a response. So I was like, that's kind of weird because me and Trent are friends and me and the foreplay guys are friends. And we're also co-workers and we, I think, have this respect for each other. So weird to not get a real response. Or he maybe texted me back, but kind of without an answer. Kind of like, haha, or something like that. So that's kind of weird. You know, went on, and then I text him again in a couple weeks. And this is by this time his series does have a lot of traction. People are into it. I said, dude, Here's an idea. What if after your series is over, you and I play almost like a bonus round for your series, like broke 100 in the final episode, bonus episode, taking on competition. We play each other. And he did not like that idea either. And he didn't give me a reason. He didn't even actually say no. I think he hit me with another ha-ha. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to read out loud our text exchange because it was not on the record or anything like that. But I will say that I just don't want to reflect him in a light that's not true. Well, I will... Oh, man. I'll say, okay, here's what I said. I can tell you what I said. I said, how many episodes are going to be in this Breaking 100 series? And he said, no spoilers. I said, okay. I said, well, I was just going to say, if you end up breaking 100 before whatever the series is sold through, because say they sell 10 episodes, but he broke 100 on the 8th episode or something like that, maybe one of the final episodes we could go head to head. Or if not, we could do that as a separate bonus video and make it a thing for people could gamble on in the sports book. I found out after the fact because I asked Hank, I think, couldn't make it a thing people couldn't gamble on in the sports book because it's too much legal trouble. But that's what I said. And it was just a straight up no text back at that point. So it's like the third time I try to hit him up or something. I eventually go back and I say, or maybe instead I'll just find the tallest building I can jump off. Because I'm like, at this point, what's wrong with me? Why don't we want to do anything? And he basically said something to the effect of, let me just finish the series and then we'll go from there. I asked him why he don't want to do anything with me. He says something to the effect of he just wants to finish the series before he thinks of anything else. I said it literally takes no planning. He's talking about, I want to finish my series before I start planning the next thing. I said, it literally takes no planning. We have to go to a golf course and golf, and we need to bring camera people. Boom. We just planned it. And no text back. So at this point, it goes another week, and people are always hitting me up on Twitter, Instagram. Everyone's like, play Trent, play Trent, play Trent. And I was just like, kind of, well, it's weird. Like, why? Everyone wants to see us do it. It makes a lot of sense for us to do it. It'd be really easy for us to do it. We are friends. It would be a great collaboration. I think that there's really no real reason why it shouldn't be done. It's not something that takes planning. If it was something that took a lot of planning, a lot of coordinating, if we had to get all the foreplay guys there, if I had to get Riggs away from the Classic and Frankie away from something he's doing with the Islanders and Trent away from the Bachelor, and I had to make sure it worked for my schedule, then I understand. It's like, okay, this is going to take some planning. At this point, I was not in the middle of fall. I could have just flown to Trent or him flown to me. We play each other, and that's that. I could have went up to New York, made a big trip out of it, done of other stuff that I need to do in New York anyways. And it would have been no planning. And so I was a little bit like, what's going on here? Why don't we just do this? It would be huge. So people are asking me every day, what's going on? Why you want to do this? You're scared, blah, blah, blah. So I said, all right. I put the foreplay guys in a group message. Trent, Frankie, and Riggs. All of whom I have individual relationships with and I like. And I said, guys, what's the deal here? Is there a bigger story? Is this something that you guys want to handle all behind the scenes? Or is this something, what's going on? Is there a reason why I'm not getting answers? Tell me, if you don't want to play me, just say, hey, dude, I don't want to play you, honestly. And he did come out and eventually say that he didn't want to play me because he felt like he had everything to lose, nothing to gain. If he would have said that from the start, I would have been like, all right, dude, you know what? Fair enough. But that's not what he said. They just didn't answer me, didn't say anything to me. I put them all in a group message. I said, hey, what's going on? You guys know something I don't? Did I do something to offend you? Do you not want to collaborate me for another reason? What is happening? I just want to know because it's very weird to me. And it's And it's something I just have never experienced, honestly, before at Barstool. And it was still kind of more of the same rigmarole, you know. And, you know, Riggs and Frankie, I'll save you the back and forth. But basically, my interpretation was they were trying to stick up for Trent and saying that I'm, you know, why don't you? They were talking about they were busy and they had other things planned and they had something with you know, I don't want to give away their plans, but they had something with somebody, another person at Barstool that they wanted to handle first and it had already been planned. I ended up being with that person. I'm never with that person. I ended up being with that person at the time, and I asked them and they said it wasn't planned. So it was basically like excuse.com. And I'm like, all right, this is crazy. So weird. And I tried to handle it behind the scenes, or not handle it. I didn't think it was actually a situation, but I was trying to figure out what was going on. And they wouldn't give me a straight answer why they didn't want to do it. Or if they didn't, they didn't say that they didn't want to do it. They just wouldn't give me an answer or a straight answer. And so finally, I just started tweeting about it. When people would tweet at me and say, you guys should play, I would say, I agree. And so that's how it kind of started getting talked about. And then in my last video where I got a 91, I was not able to break 90. I said it because that's a different audience. People who are, I think, follow me on Instagram is a little bit of a different audience than Twitter. Obviously, there's some crossover, but I think some people don't use Twitter anymore. So I said it for the Instagram people who are also hitting me up. Hey, you know, I would play Trent, but he doesn't want to play. And I didn't even say his name, but people knew who he was. If they knew, they knew. I thought that at that point I had crossed all my T's, dotted my I's. I will play this guy. It's not that I'm trying to avoid him. And at that time, far more than wanting to play Trent was more like, this is so weird and so frustrating that I'm being treated like this that I actually just want to make it as uncomfortable as possible. And that's how I felt. And eventually it must have worked because finally Trent responded. And he said something to the effect of, hey, I would play you, but, and keep in mind, every time that this happened on social media, no one would reply. I would tag Frankie. I would tag Trent. I didn't take it to the level of tagging Riggs. You know, that's the boss man. I was trying my best to be noticed by these guys. I have a feeling that they probably did notice it. And they just chose not to respond. Finally, we got a response. He says, I don't want to play you because it does nothing for me if I beat you. I beat a guy who just started playing golf. And if I lose, I lost to a guy who just started playing golf. It's a bad look, which is cool. He's like, but I will play you. So that's kind of the catch up of exactly how the whole story unfolded. At this point, I'm like kind of, once they responded and that was the response and I like Trent and everybody, I don't know. I mean, I would more than happy to play him still. I do think it would be really good for me to be able to start, you know, knocking some of these guys down, especially after that treatment. It was bad treatment. I do think eventually, keep in mind, my goal is to be a scratch golfer within the next year. And to go on and maybe be better than scratch. So by definition, okay, it's not like my goal is to be better than Trent or my goal is to be better than Frankie, but or Riggs too. By definition, if my goal is to be less than scratch, well, those guys aren't less than scratch. So by definition, it's my goal to be better than them. I do think it would be great to, you know, as I hit these milestones, to maybe play against other people who are work at the same company and people are familiar with and their job is to golf and play them and beat them. It would be good for my morale and it would be good for my pursuit and my journey and to build some confidence to play in competitive golf. Yes, I'm not lying. Yes, it would be great. Is that going to happen with Trent? I don't know. I'll be available. I'll say that. I'll be in New York. I think the next 2 weeks I'll be there for a few days and I will be happy to make that match happen. And if something else happens and there's new developments, then maybe it will spark the fire inside of my spiteful soul once again. But until then, I'll be available. I'll let them know I'm available. And if they want to do it, we will. And if they start being mean about it, then we'll get mean about it back. Or if they're rude about it, we'll be rude back. And that's how we do things around here. We're spiteful, vindictive, and an eye for an eye. And I believe in that. So that's the catch up on the whole saga, to catch anyone up who didn't know. I just want to be transparent. I do like those guys, but I will beat them, and I will beat all three of them eventually. And that's, again, it's because my goal is to become a less than scratch golfer. Unless they also have that goal and become less than scratch golfers, then it will get even more interesting. And that's the facts, and that's the truth. Today's episode is also sponsored by Cross Country Mortgage. Cross Country Mortgage is much like us at Barstool, a people first group of people dedicated to the fundamentals of mortgage lending, which results in fast, convenient, less stressful home finance, refinancing, and financing. The rates are at all-time low right now. Okay, they may never even get this low again. So call today for a fast, free rate quote. Our partners will save you a lot of money. Call today, and our friends at Cross Country Mortgage will give you a free home valuation. That is a free, just for you calling. So I would highly recommend you using our sponsors, because they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt, right? Go to crosscountrymortgage.com/barstool and learn more about your future home buying experience. And also, you could refinance your current mortgage. Why not? It's a fast, free rate quote. I must read this for legal purposes. Cross Country Mortgage LLC, NMLS 3029, all loans subject to underwriting approval. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. So that's what's going on there. Thank you to Cross Country Mortgage. And we're on to Rough and Rowdy. I am flying this afternoon to West Virginia, Charleston. I'm going to try to maybe get in some golf tomorrow, because I have the full day there. I got a shot for me and Ron's outfits. Do a couple little editing things on my computer. But besides that, I should be able to do some practicing. And then tomorrow night at Showtime, we have Bobby Lang, our Rough and Rowdy heavyweight champion, taking on Pac-Man Jones. We talked about that earlier. It's going to be an insane fight. But we also have some other really good matchups. Dancing Dan, the guy who has the really bendable, flexible knees on Instagram. And he's invented like two or three of the most popular dances in the last couple of years. He is randomly fighting against Supreme Patty, who's another internet guy. So, and I think Supreme Patty's famous for like putting lemons in his eyes. That's a wild matchup. It's just a wild matchup of two like recognizable names. Like if you saw those two guys, you might not know exactly how you knew them, but you'd probably be like, oh yeah, I know these guys. They're fighting each other on the Rough and Rowdy card. And they're not even the main event. Also, maybe the one I'm looking... Well, this is definitely the one I'm looking forward to the most is Donnie, Chef Donnie from Barstool. Great guy. He came with us when we went to Paris for the World Cup. He spoke French. And so the night before, we're at the pop-punk concert, and he tells us he speaks French. He's like, wait, it's amazing. Can you come with us to France? Because we need someone to interpret. He's like, I was like, let me ask Erica. Erica's in the room. Erica, can Donnie come with us to France tomorrow? She goes, sure. And so, boom. Next day, we're in Paris together. And we got smoke bombed together in a huge crowd, day of the World Cup. Celebrated for like 2 days straight after they won. Paris put on the best celebration of any winning team when France won the World Cup anyone's ever done that I've been a part of. Went to Philadelphia, and people got absolutely shit-canned an hour after it was over. People were eating poop off the side of the street, looting Macy's, burning down their hometown. It made no sense, okay? And that's Philadelphia for you. I've been to a bunch of other ones, and usually it just happens people start chugging beers, and the night ends fast. When France won, it was like a wholesome celebration, a slow-burning candle. People just celebrated and lived their best lives and didn't go to work and just were in the streets celebrating, talking, sharing communion, and maybe a couple glasses of wine tops for multiple days. It was a sight to be seen. and something I was happy to share with Chef Donnie, who will be fighting another TikTok guy. I don't know really anything about the guy he's fighting, but he is another one of these. I'm not on TikTok, to be honest. I probably should be, in terms of that's my job to be on social medias. But like at this point, I'm just not on it. I don't know what else to say. I've been on it before. It's a lot. It's very addictive. And at this point for me, I think I might be better off having somebody run it for me. That way I had a presence on there. Maybe have someone post for me my content, repurpose my content, even, you know. But to really go balls deep into the TikTok world and do the necessary research, like, it's tough. It's just tough. Sometimes I have no desire to, and this is just me being honest. I'm really incriminating myself, but sometimes I just am like, fudge these things, man, to just like get popular here and get popular there. I think that I could probably just repurpose my stuff that I'm doing, my current stuff that I'm doing, and it would probably do pretty well. And I could probably sprinkle in a couple original things for TikTok that would probably do well as well. So give myself a D minus or an F probably for TikTok right now. And if I was in the A or B category, I probably would know this guy that Chef Donnie's fighting better. Please tune in. Rough and Rowdy. You can buy it. Buyrnr.com. It would be me, Roan on the floor, Big Cat, a.k.a. Dan, and Dave calling the fights. And then, like I said, the main card is unreal. And then the undercard's always the funniest part because there's a bunch of people who don't know how to fight trying to beat the shit out of each other. It is for sure my favorite thing we do at Barstool, and I could not recommend it highly enough. It's fun to be a part of, and it's got to be even better to watch. The reason I know that is because I sit with the headset on the side. So even though I'm at the live event, I'm hearing the broadcast because I'm a part of it, and the broadcast is absolutely hilarious. So please tune in, and then next week I'll be in New York City. Maybe we'll be playing Trent, and then also we'll be maybe doing some more Sunday conversation. Thank you, and we will catch you next week. Two episodes this week. And thank you also to our sponsors, Five Iron, Cross Country Mortgage, TaylorMade, and Dude Wipes. Sayonara.